Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we welcome to the show now the Cubs president of baseball operations, Theo Epstein. Anything going on today?
It's a little bit of a busy day, but busy week altogether. We'll take it.
I find that the entire last few days kind of fascinating with all of the pieces that were moving and moved to get Craig Kimbrel onto the ball club. You got asked a number of questions in the press conference about whether this could have been done without some financial variables falling in. I wonder if there was a whole lot of contact when the season or prior to the season, the offseason, with Kimbrel or other closers to get something together, if this was something thought about prior to the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, obviously we would have loved to bring in a bona fide closer in the offseason. We were a little bit different dynamic this winter. You know, Kimbrel wasn't attainable for us. You know, he had his own market and wasn't in an area where we could negotiate with him at all this winter. And we had our own restraints, and we were fishing in different waters, I guess is the best way to put it, this winter. And we started the year knowing that there was a really good chance we were going to have to be aggressive in season, making some moves. You know, the deeper you get into the season, the less salary you're taking on in a deal. Obviously, there's always a number of relievers available in trade. We've made trades for the bullpen every year that we've been competitive, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And we certainly expected to be in that mindset again this year. We did not expect to be able to add arguably a Hall of Fame closer midseason without giving up any players. And that's what made this move so attractive. And once a couple things changed on our end and his market started to come into an area that was more realistic for us, it became just clear it was such a unique opportunity. And Tom Ricketts was in an aggressive mindset and was unbelievable to work with on this, trying to make it happen.
How important was David Ross in this process? I hadn't really considered it, and now after hearing the press conference, it mattered that the Cubs had him as an asset, did it not?
Yeah, he's been so valuable as a special assistant, just his contacts in the game, and he's got a dynamic personality. He can relate to all different kinds of players and is so connected. And last Friday, Craig was going to throw a bullpen. It was going to be our first time being able to see him throw as we moved down the road in this process. And we sent one of our scouts from that area, Joe Nelson, who pitched in the big leagues a long time. And we thought, well, why not send David Ross too? And Rossi was great. He hopped on a flight and was able to make it. We figured it'd be good to get a look from a guy who caught Craig. And then also, what better salesman for the Cubs than David Ross? As he told Craig, if the fans there love me, just imagine how they'll feel about you. Because he's look how they treat a backup catcher. I think you might have a pretty good time as a dominant closer. So it was really helpful.
So Theo, the timeline, as best as you can tell, to start for Craig will be optioned, then Arizona for a little while, then at some point rehab starts. I guess we call him rehab starts. I guess mm-hmm. for somebody. When does pitch lab happen for him?
Well, we'll see. Well, that's located down in Arizona, so that may or may not happen depending on his comfort level with it. But it's really just like throwing a bullpen, but with a little bit extra equipment to establish a baseline for if things get out of whack down the line or if there's a slight tweak you can make for optimization. But that's not a fundamental part of the plan at all. It's really just about getting him up to game speed. He's done a great job. The report from Joe Nelson and Rossi was that he looked just about in midseason form. Fastball was coming out really well. I think he touched 95 just in the bullpen session, and breaking ball was really good too. So he just hasn't faced hitters, game action. He's got to do PFP. He's got to get his sights set with hitters in the box. He's got to have guys taking real swings against him. And we can accomplish that in due time in Arizona. I think it's important not to rush it. It might feel good to get him back here, in a week, and we all feel good about things, but then there might be a price to pay for that, later in the year. So we're trying to give him a foundation that guys need and build up during spring training that that he can build off of all year.
You could write that story right now. You know, there's going to be a blown save, and there's going to be a loss. Like, what's he doing in Arizona? Why didn't they act sooner? You know it's inevitable that that's coming, even though you've said what you've said. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about a phrase that you used regarding Carlos Gonzalez a couple of days ago, because it looks like, you know, a nice maybe lightning in a bottle kind of pickup that happens. It's a great story. And you talked about how prone he is to be hot. And when he gets hot, it's real hot. And you actually used the phrase epic tear.
I think I use that because we've been on the opposite side of that too many times. We've been the brunt of some of those tears over the years.
But how long do you give? Like, how do you balance a couple things? Balance giving him a fair shot at an epic tear with also having an outfield full of useful guys?
Yeah, I just think it's a feel thing. I mean, we didn't bring him in to be an everyday outfielder, you know, not at all. That's not what the job is. Albert Almora is having a really good season. He's growing as a player. He needs to play. He deserves an opportunity. But there are a lot of at-bats to go around. And, you know, two different type hitters, for example, just those two guys. And it's more than just those two guys. But Albert obviously pounds lefties and also hits the high fastball really well. Carlos Gonzalez is one of the best low ball hitters around. That's the way his swing path is geared. So this is a way to pick the right matchups just based on swing path alone. But Joe's got really good feel. I think at this point in Carlos's career, you don't want him being worn down playing every single day. At this point in Albert's career, you don't want him sitting on the bench, you know, too many days in a row. He needs to play. So this is a way to balance it out. And the one thing that we do have and continue to benefit from is depth. So, you know, when a guy gets banged up for a couple days, as we saw a couple weeks ago with Javi Baez, you have Addison Russell step in. An outfielder can't play for a couple days, you know, you've got a Carlos Gonzalez to step right in. And that doesn't get noticed all the time, but at the end of the year, if you've given all your at-bats to quality players, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be at or near the top of the standings.
We got asked just the other day about Craig Kimbrell's contract status and what it might mean for you guys going forward, not just this year, but in a few. And we were asked if he had to go to 3 years, and we just kind of figured, well, that's the price of poker. Like you said, Kimbrel's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. He kind of gets to demand that. Were you guys interested in being a little bit more, I don't know, flexible or fungible with that deal? Was that a point of conversation at all, or is this what you needed to be at to get Craig Kimbrell?
Yeah, it was a competitive marketplace.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that there were other teams at 3 years, and we didn't blow away the competition at all. I think financially, I think we might have got them by a nose, and then the appeal of Chicago and everything is what Craig wanting to be here made this happen. But no, that's the cost. You know, I think like if you could have told us in the off season that that's the price for Craig Kimbrell, we would have said that's a really good price. It's good value for a guy like that. Now, whether we could have done it or not based on our situation, that's another story. But in the end, I think it's a good resolution for everybody. It's a fair deal for us and just the right piece that we need. And Craig gets to be in an attractive destination with a contract that he can be proud of, and he gets to go out and do his thing.
What's the range of likelihoods for the return of Brandon Morrow this season?
You know, I don't know, and that's one of the reasons why we were aggressive and made this deal. You know, he got ramped up and then had to felt some of that same achiness in his elbow and had to shut it down. Is just in the early stage of restarting it. So I think I'd love to say it's definitely going to happen, and because what a dynamic add that would be, you know, on top of Kimbrell with the other guys we have at the back end of the pen. But I don't know, and I hope for our sake and for his sake, he's worked so hard to get back that he can't come back, but we're in wait-and-see mode as he ramps up.
Looking at this year's draft and looking at the way baseball is changing, you know, when we were down in Arizona, we had a long conversation with Jed about the cameras, about the pitch lab, about what's happening in baseball, and obviously it's being studied now. The new book that just come out, The MVP Machine, talks about some of this stuff in really fascinating ways. And as you look at drafting, especially pitching right now, I believe you mentioned something about anticipating rules changes. I'm not sure, is that the minimum three batter rule? With all of this happening, how is it coming together in as you set your draft board and as you look going forward at how you're going to develop and now engineer pitching?
Yeah, you know, the potential rule changes, nobody knows how it's going to evolve, right? If all of a sudden they limit the amount of pitchers on a 25-man roster to say 10, then all of a sudden the premium is on starting pitchers who can go deep into games and multi-inning relievers and guys who can who just blow and go for one inning at a time aren't nearly as valuable. You know, power starting pitchers who run up pitch counts but are out after five innings, not as valuable. You're looking for guys who can get through an order three times, get deep in games. But no one knows if it's going to go that direction or if it's going to go the other direction, and there's not going to be any type of legislative adjustments. And instead, this trend of more pitchers, more power, more specialization is going to continue. So I think you just have to be flexible in player development and with what we look for in the draft. And I think you can't go wrong trying to, in player development, focusing on developing a complete pitcher. You know, somebody who's got already a two-pitch arsenal might be quick to the big leagues that way. Slow them down and make sure they can develop that third pitch, refine their command, make sure they can get out the opposite-sided hitter. You can always specialize later on, but early in the process, it's really important to develop that that broad base of skills. And yeah, I think with Adbert Azole is a good example of somebody who's had a slower path. He's had his ups and downs in his development time. He's had his injuries as well, and he's at a point now where he's healthy. You see the benefits of the development. He's a much more complete pitcher now than he was a couple of years ago, and he's somebody that could probably, if we needed to, fill down the road a number of different roles on a pitcher.
How far down the road?
Down the road. I mean, okay. I think he's pitching his way into being depth for us right now, and you know, certainly as we look at next year's team, I think we anticipate him with, if he continues to pitch at this level, being a big part of it, and he's all important depth for us this year. With the new rules, with the trading deadline, you can't really go out and make trades after July 31st. So there's an even greater premium on the depth that you have at AAA, and he'll be a big part of that, if not more.
Theo, on my way in, I saw Peter Gammons getting a coffee. As I was getting one, we had Len Casper up here as well, which can only mean that it is Hot Stove Cool Music coming up one more time. It sounds like the excitement for this one is as high as ever. And then I think you guys have a couple of anniversaries coming up in the next few as well.
Yeah, I think next year is a big anniversary. I think, what will that be? I don't know.
Len said it'd be 20 next year
20,
for you guys
20
in Boston.
Total, yeah, going back to Boston and Chicago. I think it'll be a couple years away from 10. But, yeah, you know what? I am just waking up to Hot Stove Cool Music because I've been buried in the draft and Craig Kimbrell and a couple other team-related issues. So I had extra coffee this morning so that I'll be ready to be there tonight with everybody. And it's always a great night. Fans of baseball and music get together and have a good time for a great cause. Highlight of the year for a lot of people.
If people want tickets, they can go to metrochicago.com. And I would be remiss if I didn't follow up on this. I believe in the press conference you were asked a question about today Wrigley Field being used as part of a fundraiser for Donald Trump's 2020 campaign. And you demurred and said that you were there to talk about Craig Kimbrell. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have any strong feelings one way or the other about how Wrigley Field can be used for political purposes?
I mean, it's a venue, right? It's a private venue, and people have the right to host events here, especially the owners, and they're going to. And I've hosted events here too, and on the other side of the political spectrum. So you know, it's a free society, a private venue, and I don't think anyone intends any disrespect. They're just, this is a venue that is attractive to a lot of groups, and as long as it's sort of equal opportunity on all sides, I don't think there's a tremendous argument against it. And leaving my political leanings out of it, I'll just say I know for a fact that this venue has hosted groups from both sides of the political spectrum, and probably will continue to do so going forward. This one's getting publicity, but it's really not something I give a lot of thought to. As long as I know, it's balanced on both sides, that's all you can ask for.
Theo, thanks much for your time.
Thanks,
we appreciate it on a very busy day. And again, if people want information and tickets about tonight's 8th annual Hot Stove Cool Music Benefit Concert at the Metro, tickets are available at metrochicago.com. It's for a great cause, Cubs Charities, and the charity run by Theo and his brother, the Foundation, to be named later. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy your time in the sunshine. Tough work today.
Yeah,
I think you can get through it.
Hazard pay today.
Enjoy.
That is Theo Epstein, the president of baseball operations of the Chicago Cubs, on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.